Wow, has it ever been a new year? It is a new year, right? From Russia, January 2nd, to being here for that amazing conference. How many of you enjoyed the conference with Heidi Baker and Patricia King? And I tell you, Heidi Baker deposited a seed in many of us, but I believe in this place. And, you know, they said it was a mistake that she was supposed to be in Kelowna the following week. And Heidi looked at Sharon and I very clearly in the car and said, it was no mistake. It was no mistake. I was supposed to be in your house. And we hadn't connected with Heidi for years. So just to have her come in to this house is absolutely amazing. Amen. The reason I say that is so often we experience things in life, but then we forget to remember the experience. And when we forget the experience, it's like reading the Bible and not remembering what you read. You lose the power of the testimony, the act of God. Because that's testimony. And everything that miraculously happens in our life happens because he's acted upon something, whether it's prayers of a praying mother, whether it's your own prayers, whether it's on his own free will, he can do what he pleases. But when something miraculously happens and we remember the miraculous, what we do is we act on the power of testimony, which releases the miraculous of what released the miracle in the first place. Amen? So it's exciting. Alberta was amazing. A week and a half ago? Just amazing what Chris and Anita Hicks, our overseers and lead pastors in Alberta, and the River Junction just had a group called Above Something. It's a kind of a rocky punk band in their church. It was just absolutely amazing and exciting. So Alberta's doing great. And Mexico, just I got back on late Thursday night. Absolutely amazing. Our church down there, the main church, Fuerza Agape, just passes their love. They love us all so much, and they're praying for us. You know, they're about 1,000 people, and just on fire for God. And got to minister. It seemed miraculous. I think on that trip, we had over 50 people receive Jesus Christ. Miracles. I at 25 testimonies on Sunday morning. We didn't let everybody else give their testimony because it was so long. But 25 miraculous miracles that we saw was absolutely phenomenal. And then we drove out on Monday morning, last Monday, to Aguacatlan. It's one of our Windward churches there. I had taken Jeremy and Miranda Nelson in some years ago. We did a crusade there. But anyways, absolutely amazing. Got to minister with married people in that they invited and brought testimony of people coming in. And we saw, I think it was about 18 salvations those two nights that we were in Aguacatlan, which is a small community. And I think it's about 2,500 people that actually live in the community, but it feeds about 20,000 people in the mountains. And it is staunch Catholic. 4:45, 4:50 a.m., the bells start ringing, and the cannons, so they're explosions, like big firecrackers, like a cannon, start going off. Through my earplugs, I heard them clearly. I recorded one set at 5:55 because they go off at just before 5 a.m. to wake everybody up and say it's first season of Mass. And then at 1 hour later, they go off again saying, if you miss that one, get to Mass. The problem, they do this for each hour, you know, in the mornings and then at night as well. And the problem is, though, is one of the times I actually walked up by the Catholic Church and there was just not many people in there. And I thought, why? I actually felt like I was being manipulated to do something that was actually mind control. And the whole town is crashing around, except the on-fire Christian churches. They're coming to life. And we're seeing amazing things happen. And the Tuesday night, I ministered at Aguacatlan. And one of the young men, actually the owner of the hotel that we were in, and it's not a real nice hotel. I did sleep somewhat, but we were in one of the only hotels in there. And people say, was it a nice hotel? I'm like, no, it wasn't. The bed was like a rock, and I don't usually complain, but you know, I got a little achy and sore in the pillows. But anyways, make a long story. Oh, and if you watch me on Facebook, you'll see the video I took of the showers. Most of the people are indigenous up there, and they're like about this tall. And so I walk into the shower, and the shower bar is here. It's just nose level and eye level. And then I walk to the shower head, and it's nose level. And the mirror is here, and the sink is there. So to do this hair, I'm like this. I mean, I was getting a workout. My legs were burning just to blow dry my hair. It's unbelievable. But anyways, oh, it was amazing. And but anyways, one of the young men on Tuesday night, he's the son of the owner, but his mom's very ill, and he actually owns the hotel now. And we've been working with him probably 4 years, and he gave his life to Jesus. And on Tuesday night, and he has everything. He's got a rock, but it's one of those emerald things, you know, I don't know, it's New Age thing, but hanging around his neck. He's got, I think, a St. Christopher. I think he's got the cross. He's got about 5 things hanging around his neck of all these different religions, you know, trying to give him health and whatnot. And I just want to let you know, he took them all off Tuesday night. And he came up and he said, "Brother Brent, I want to get baptized." I said, "Oh, where?" You know, it's like Tuesday night and we're leaving early Wednesday morning. I had to go back to Mexico City to minister Wednesday night. And he said, "I don't know, I want to get baptized." I said, "If you can find a tub, a cistern or something." "Oh, a cistern." He says, "I have a cistern, an old cistern in the hotel. We don't use it anymore, except for emergencies." I said, "Oh, okay. You want to get baptized seriously?" "Yeah." "Okay, I'll jump in the tank. Does it have a bottom?" He says, yeah. "It's only about this deep." I said, "Okay." I said, "Is it that one that we were looking at when we came here that's like green, scummy-looking water?" "Yeah, that's the one." I said, "Oh, okay." So then I said spontaneously, this is the end of the night, end of the ministry. "Is there anybody else?" And two young men more stepped up to the plate. So but the pastor, Adonias, our senior leader, he looks at me and says, "You're going to get in that water? Like, you're seriously going to baptize them?" I said, "Absolutely. Absolutely. We're going to jump in there. Does it have a bottom?" I wanted to make sure, so I couldn't only see this far, right? So in the water. And it was cold water. We're in the mountains. And we went into the green water, and I don't know what was on the bottom, but I felt things on the bottom. And I slowly got in, and it wasn't this deep. It went, I'm thinking, "Oh, Lord, please let there be a bottom. Let there be a bottom." And it stopped about here. And but anyways, we ended up baptizing these 3 men, and there's actually an influx when I'm traveling of men on fire for God that we haven't seen in many, many years. We usually, when you travel, you'll see tons of women in the church. In Russia, tons of women. You know, in Mexico, tons of women. In Canada, lots of women in the church. But right now, there's something new and fresh, that there's an overwhelming number of men coming up to the plate, starting to step back into their God-given destiny. And we need men and women in their identity, in their God-given destiny. It's not one race, not one sex or the other. It is literally man and woman together in God's destiny is how we're going to reach the foundational revival stones that God's asking us to build. That's literally what's going to happen. So an overabundance of the men, even in our main church in Mexico City, it's men are coming, young men. There's revival breaking out in the young men. And I actually believe they're grabbing their destiny again. Amen? So when we call back the sons and the daughters, the wayward ones, it's time and season to believe it and expect it. Amen? So absolutely awesome. And on Wednesday night, I ministered to there's 75 or 78 of our leaders in Fuerza Agape, and we ministered with them, and it was just absolutely amazing, and talked a lot, questions, and it was just absolutely awesome, you know, what God is doing. And I'm thankful, because what Windward does is sends me. A lot of these places, sometimes they can't afford to bring me in or things like that, but we tithe, this ministry tithes on everything that you tithe on. And we give. And that's what we do as a ministry as well, too. Amen? So it's exciting. And through that, we're able to reach nations around this world. Amen? I want to talk to you about leaving a legacy. but you got to have courage. If you don't have courage for a legacy, then you don't have a legacy to leave. A lot of us have legacies in properties or monies or families, or maybe they don't. But I'm talking about a spiritual legacy. But if we as parents don't have the courage of the legacy, we have no legacy to give. So let's talk about it. When God brought the children of Israel into the promised land, he gave them a very clear directive. So here you've got the children of Israel that have been 40 years out in the desert. But when he brought them into the promised land, he gave a very clear directive to them. And that directive was for them, and that directive is for us today. This directive prophetically shows us, as children of God living in a new covenant, when we are children of God and we live in the new covenant, it shows us what our assignment on this earth is. Because so many people come up, Brent, pray for me, prophesy, I need to know the call of my life. I always tell them, I don't have to prophesy anything like that over you, because the call of your life is very straightforward and very clear in the Bible. Tell me, what is it? Am I a prophet? Am I an evangelist? That is not your call. Those are called gifts. But you have to operate in a call before you can ever expect the gifts to operate. I'm actually getting tired of everybody going after a gift without the ability of the inheritance of the gift. They don't have the sonship. When I say a son, that's a son and a daughter. You understand? It's the children of God, okay? And so they don't carry the sonship mentality to actually step into the gift that they're trying to get into, and they're self-promoting and pushing themselves over and over again. Look at me, look what I'm doing, look at it. And pretty soon they become a puppet on a string of a system that is not godly. And we are not called to be puppets. God did not create us puppets. He gave us free will for a choice. And that choice we can only find through intimacy and relationship in him. That's the will of the Father, that we have relationship and intimacy with him. You want to know your call? I'll guarantee you, I'll tell it to you right now. It's have intimacy with Father. It's be a son with him. It's to step into the family with him, to have an identity of who we're created to be. The Israelites were so displaced by pagan peoples living in the promised territory. So here is they're getting ready to go in the promised land. There's these people that are in, they're occupied, that are in their land. But yet this is the land that God gave to them. And these people that were in this land, the promised land of the Israelites, the people that were there, had pagan rituals. They did not believe in God. This was not a healthy looking place at this point in time. Matter of fact, most of the spies said, don't go in. And some, too, said yes. So the Israelites were to send their tribes. What were they to do in this promised territory? They were to send their tribes throughout the promised land. And ultimately, they were to establish, listen to this, they were to establish and build centers of worship and cities of refuge in each region. So here's the promised land. What the Israelites, to get into the promised land, they walked through this whole desert season. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. But to get to the promised land wasn't just milk and honey with no bees stinging you. It was full of things that had to be displaced. It needed light in the promised land. It needed to dispel the darkness out of the land, but yet it was the promised land that God had given to them. So many of us expect the promises of God is no more work, basking on the sunny beach. Don't have to do anything more because I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. That is absolutely not true. God has promises for you, but we have to go after the promises and dispel all darkness that's trying to take the promises out. And how do you dispel the darkness? Be a light. Let your light shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember? Let it shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. Let it shine. Christ also commissioned us to go into our promised land and make disciples of the nations. That's what we're doing. You might not be going to every nation that this ministry connects with, but we are family and we are making disciples of the nations. We have churches in Russia. We have churches in South and Central America and Mexico and Canada and in the United States. We are making disciples of the nations. And it's an amazing perspective that we as a family are able to do that. This God has opened the doors for us to do this. Can you imagine if we lived 150 years ago?
Trying to get a horse to swim across the Atlantic to Russia, it's a tough thing to do. Probably walk up to Alaska and try to go across the ice. I don't know. But that's not the season we're in 150 years ago. We're in the season now. We use internet, we use television, we use everything possible to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. That's our destiny. Locally, nationally, and internationally. I love the Toronto movement. John and Carol Arnott are amazing papas and mamas. But you know, one thing that John mentioned is he said, you know what? We changed thousands and thousands of people. Lives were changed, but we didn't change Toronto. We didn't change the region around our church. And that's why I'm so excited that we're going out into the regions around us. Because what do we want to build? Just people fly in, get touched, and fly out? Well, that's part of it. But we need to build that people get touched in our own communities, in our businesses, in our jobs, in our families. And how do they see that? By us modeling Jesus Christ, and by us modeling that we are in a promised land. Amen? We are. You can get all wrapped up on what the government's doing and decisions they're making, and some of them are really, really bad in my own nation. They're bad decisions that are being made right now. You don't hear me real political from the pulpit, but I want to tell you what. There's some bad decisions that have been made the last few years. Some really bad ones. The whole school system, the whole LGBT school agenda thing that our kids are being taught in public schools, like, we got to have a voice and stand up and start crying out. I love what one of the news companies said just recently online. They said, the Christian church is a sleeping giant in Canada that's being awakened. Well, you know what? Let's wake up. Let's wake up. And let's not just let them teach our children this kind of stuff. It is garbage. It is so leftist, lopsided junk. You say, oh, come on, Brent, don't be so political. You know, if you're in this house, I don't usually speak like this. But I'll tell you what, there's a righteous, holy anger rising up inside of me that we need to rescue our children and rescue this nation in Jesus' name. Amen? So we pray. We pray. But we also put walking to our prayers. We also do signing to our prayers. We also get involved where we can get involved, especially the ministries that are in the front lines, like Fateen and her ministry. I mean, they are frontline people making a difference in our nation. And let's keep going to bring this back to the God nation it's destined to. Amen? So, Christ also commissioned us into our promised land. It means our territory. And make disciples of the nations. While making disciples, what happens? When you start making disciples around you, when you start being a shining light, whether it's your job, whether it's your work, and you don't have to have the biggest Bible, take it to work and start, bam, bam, you need Jesus. You're going to burn in hell. No, that doesn't work anymore. It's not a fear gospel. It's a gospel of love. It's a gospel. Now, the devil fears it because he's got no love. But this is not a fear book. If you get people saved because you're trying to save them out of burning hell, you're actually doing it for the wrong reason. We preach the gospel not for the salvation out of hell. It's for the salvation into the kingdom. It's not to rescue them from something. It's actually to set them free into greatness. It's a whole opposite perspective of what some of us might have grown up with. Anybody remember those Left Behind movies? Every time I watched one, I gave my life to Jesus. Scared the daylights out of me. The Israelites' success in fulfilling each part of this assignment was dependent on their ability to do what God had been teaching them while they were in the wilderness. What they were learning in the wilderness is what they had to do in the promised land. I'm going to talk to you about that. They needed to follow God's manifest presence. What did they learn in the wilderness? What was the sign that they followed? A cloud in day and a fire at night. What was the cloud and what was the fire? It was the manifest presence of God. They were being taught how to follow the manifest presence of God. But why weren't they walking in the manifest presence of God? Because something was wrong inside. It wasn't God. It was something was wrong inside. What were they looking for? What were they after? God wanted them in his presence. If they had been able to enter into his presence, then they would have been able to go to the promised land a whole lot sooner than 40 years, one whole generation. But God, in his great, amazing grace, knew that if they went into the promised land with Egypt still in their hearts, they would destroy the promises of God for that land. Do you understand what I'm saying? We want the promises of God, but are our hearts right to receive the full promises? We want the inheritance, we want the blessing, we want the favor, we want the miraculous, we want the sign and the wonder. We want all this. What holds it back? If you really think about it, if we're in a desert season, some people celebrate a desert season. I don't. Some people say, oh, it's good to be in a desert season because it humbles you. You know what? I used to say, humble me, Lord. Now I don't. It hurts. But why was someone need to be humbled in a new covenant perspective? Because they think this humbleness, this humility is going to bring them into a more righteous state. It's kind of like walking in Mexico and watching men with whips whipping themselves, crying out for more pain so they can celebrate what Jesus did on the cross. It's like these men every year that get nailed literally through their hands and their feet, hung on a cross, and everybody's wailing and worshiping the pain of this man willing to sacrifice himself for the cross. And I got to scratch my head and say, hold it. That's what Jesus did, so you and I don't have to suffer that. Jesus did. The works of the cross are finished, so you and I don't live in a despised, rejected state. You and I live in the glorious state of who Jesus Christ is now. Who he is now. Read Revelations of what John says he is now. Not Isaiah. Isaiah, what he says is Jesus going to the cross, but John talks about who he is now after the cross. Hair like white snow, pure. Eyes like flaming fire. Shoes that have been refined in the furnace. I tell you, he's a powerful, powerful, powerful son called Jesus Christ. Amen? So we go through these wildernesses. But why are we in a wilderness? If you really process, if you say, hey, I'm in a wilderness season. Now, I'm not talking about grieving. I want to, you know, our brother Jake here just lost his wife Dorothy a little over a week ago. Let's just put our hands out to him, okay, right now. Because this is a grieving season. This is a season of a loss of a loved one. But I put my arm around Jake this morning and started to pray over him. And I just wanted to encourage him and say, man, she ultimate healing. She's got her ultimate miracle. You know, I mean, she is dancing in the heavens. And I know that there's a cloud of witnesses and she's got to be a part of it. So, Father, we just pray for Jake, Lord, because you still have the loss of your wife that you've been married for many, many years. We just pray for the peace that passes all understanding in Jesus' name. And for all of us that have lost loved ones, we pray for that peace that passes all understanding. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, that it puts a fire under our rear end sometime to get out and evangelize our own families in Jesus' name. The ones that aren't saved, let us be the shining light of your presence, not telling them what to do, shining light of your presence, and that's the love of Jesus in us. Bless Jake, we pray. And all the people said, amen, amen. It's important that we make sure we can be in the promised land that God wants us in. Because the wilderness was only because of disobedient hearts that they lost a generation into the wilderness. But you see, Jesus dying on the cross, walking into the 40 days in the desert, he'd had a wilderness experience, I believe, so you and I don't have to mourn through one. Listen to me. He had a wilderness experience being attacked by the devil, so you and I don't have to walk in the mournings of a wilderness. I'm not saying you can't mourn physically, but spiritually, we shouldn't be in mourning. Unless you say morning is the joy of the Lord. Joy of the Lord is in the morning. Morning, morning. Little play on words. It doesn't mean we can't mourn. What I'm trying to say is spiritually, our spiritual life should not be in mourning. Does that make sense? You have to mourn your loved ones. You mourn, you cry out, you travail for the people of your family. You travail for the kids that are wayward. You travail, you cry out for that. But when you let the circumstances bring your spiritual life into mourning, then we've actually defeated the works of the cross and resurrected Jesus Christ and power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Does that make sense? Listen, boy, it's quiet in here. Okay, take a big breath. Breathe out, everyone breathe out. Yeah, we're alive. Okay, thank you, Jesus. I know it's sunny out there. Everybody wants to go out and play in the sun, right? I'm not saying you can't mourn. What I'm saying is your spiritual life should not be in mourning. Jesus took that pain, he took everything to the cross, and he left it there and killed it there, so you and I don't have to. We mourn physically, we mourn emotionally, especially when loved ones pass away, absolutely. We mourn maybe the losing of our job, but the reality is it shouldn't bring our spiritual walk with God down to the mourning stage. Because if it is, you might as well get out the whips and start whipping your back, because that'll put you into mourning. Start saying, I have to live in pain, I have to mourn, because that's going to bring me humility, it's going to bring me humbleness. Not what my New Testament says. He's alive forevermore. He has the victory. God's not in a war and a battle. He's won it. The only war and battle is between our ears on this earth. He's already won the battle. He's just looking for us to step into the victories of the winning. And he has declared that this is our promised land. All through Scripture, where you live, what you do, what you're a part of, his kingdom, the kingdom of God within you, the kingdom of heaven at hand, the kingdom of God within you, the kingdom of heaven at hand, it makes everything around us an inheritance opportunity. But we have to step in the inheritance. Do you understand? Is this a little deep, or is this okay? Because I've got to page 3 of 27. So how are we doing this? No, I'm just kidding. It's big print, so I can read it, right? So we're doing okay? Should I camp out on one theme to try to explain it more? Or are we good to go on? You understand what I'm saying? I've come to teach and preach. Is that okay? Amen. We need the word, and we need the understanding of the word in our lives. Not just experiential, we have to have the foundation of the word to actually truly experience him properly. A lot of people go after the experience without the foundation. Such an emotional roller coaster. I know those people. Up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Bounce, bounce, bounce all through their life. How many of you like to do that? I don't. I just like to be up all the time. That's my desire. What's the down stuff? Forget the down stuff. That's junk. I want to be up. Thank you. Amen. I can't even go to the next thing until we hear an amen. Once in a while, okay? So we disciple. What do? When we are literally in our promised land mentality, our promised land now, we start to disciple. We start to take our promises as ours, the promises of God. We take those promises as ours. We start to see centers rising up. We see churches rising up. We see life groups rising up. We see evangelism rising up. We see people getting saved up. We see people get miracles and signs and wonders. We start to see cities of refuge where people come to a city to get better instead of come to the city to be bad. A lot of people come to Vancouver to be bad. I want people flying into this area to be good. But God made the answer clear to us in Joshua when he was commissioned to lead the Israelites in their assignment. Let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 to 9. Joshua 1, verse 5 to 9. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. These are the promises of God to Joshua. Verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Interesting. I just love how the Lord, how God writes the word. He throws something out there and then explains how to accomplish it. So let's look at this. No man, verse 5 again, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No man will stand in your way all the days of your life. This is a promise that God has given to you and me as well too. No man, in other words, no evil can stand before you. If it does, it's gone. Any evil that wants to get in my path, I'm going to roll it right out or kick it out, period.
Well, it's easy for you to say, Brent.
No, it's just I truly believe. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, the Lord is saying, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. So how do you walk this walk? Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Be on fire and of good courage. Like have the ability to have faith and strength in you. Your hope in Jesus Christ has opened up the level of faith in us that we can be strong in absolutely everything we walk in. We can be strong with a good attitude and have courage that we're going to break through and victories right there. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Again, saying it again. That you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left. That you may prosper wherever you go. How do you prosper wherever you go? Don't turn away from the wills of the Lord. Don't turn away from the laws. Don't turn away from his word. Stay straight. Straight the path. And you will prosper wherever you go. The verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Guess what? This is way better than dirty jokes. This is way better than yelling and swearing. This is way better than drinking stuff you shouldn't be. This is way better than anything of this world could ever offer. This is way better. Let's watch our mouth and our tongue. Let's be cautious what we joke about, what we say. Let's just get rid of the negative attitudes. Let's just get, negative attitudes bring depression. Every depressed person that you study has had some negativity that has grown in their life and they haven't been able to get rid of it. It creates depression. You feel depressed, find the negative root and get rid of it in Jesus' name. Period. And get off your drugs. Because drugs don't fix the problem, they only mask it. We have a doctor in the house, and these drugs mask. Many people can get out of a depressed state with a free will of God in them. Of course, there's chemical imbalances. What created the chemical imbalances? God? No! Okay, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate it on day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For you will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. You will make your way prosperous. When you meditate on the word day and night, you will make your way prosperous.
Oh God, I'm just waiting for you to make me prosperous.
You make your way prosperous.
Yeah, but I don't want to work.
That's the problem. You make your way prosperous.
Yeah, but I got hurt. Some church hurt me or some job hurt me and I don't want to work.
You make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. I just love it, eh? The Bible's so real. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? How many times has he said it? 3 times in these few verses. I almost think there's a pattern in it. It almost sounds like we should make that one of our sermon topics. Be of good cheer. Be strong and of good cheer. you're Norwegian. Strong and of good cheer. No, I'm not Norwegian, I'm Scottish. My dad would always say, Scottish and a little bit of ginger ale, but that's besides the point. So anyways, he didn't drink, but it was just his joke. A little scotch and ginger ale. Anyways, okay. He didn't drink. He's a missionary for over 50 years. I never saw him drink a drop in his whole life. Well, he drank water. Verse 9 again. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Fear must have something to do with it too. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Oh, the world's going to hell. Well, you're right. The world is going to hell. So get out there and save the world. I'm not of this world. I live in it. I don't mind its food. I eat Chinese sushi. I eat. Just no tacos for a while. I had lots the last week. I live in this world. I just don't live of it. Well, what do you mean, Brent? You like cars. It's a hobby, for crying out loud, and I make money on them. I get great deals, and I flip them and sell and make a car, a little here, a little there. Why not? I like to ski. Is that a sinful thing? I like to hang with my family. Is that wrong? Well, you're a pastor. You should have no money. That's a lie of the devil. Get behind me, Satan. What about double honor? Well, no, that's honor. Like, because you've whipped yourself so much that, you know, we got to honor you more. You want to try getting your young people into ministry, your sons and daughters into ministry by telling them they have to be broke? It's a poor and lonely position. No one's going to like you, and no one's going to listen to you, but you keep whipping yourself. I'm a missionary kid that grew up broke, and the one reason I didn't want to go into ministry was because I saw my parents travailing in tears to try to make rent and food. Like I said, I had jeans with holes in them before anybody else paid $180 for a pair. Yeah, and I should have patented holes with jeans. Jeans with holes. Holes with jeans. That didn't sound right, did it? Verse 9 again. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? This isn't an option. This is a command.
Well, today I think I'm going to be unhappy.
What?
Well, yeah, but you don't know it's raining, and I'm depressed of the rain.
Go live up north where it's never light. Like, 24 hours a day, it's dark up there. You want to find depression, go north. Lock yourself in your little cabin, and just dark all winter. I have commanded you, be strong and of good courage. What is courage? It's kind of like when there's a big giant in front of you and a whole army that's against this giant is scared because he's big. It's a big giant. And all these mighty warriors, the king with all the armor is scared because of one giant. What's be of good courage? It's a shepherd boy who's just kind of been looking after the sheep on the side of the mountain. And sometimes he just has nothing to do, and he gets out his sling, and he puts a rock and looks at a tree. Hits the tree. Yeah. And all the sheep are, yeah. He steps back a little farther, puts that rock in. Did you see that sheep? Did you see that? Wow. I'm getting better because I'm practicing. I'm getting better because I'm not just sitting here looking at you eat and poop all day. I'm practicing my offensive weapon, not my defense. Shields, shields, shields. The devil's getting us. The devil's getting us. Oh, I'm under attack again. I'm under attack. Help, help, help.
We better go in and just clean the whole thing out. We got to do it every day of the week because the devil's so powerful, he just breaks right through our enforcement walls.
No, it's clean. Because of light. Never did I see Jesus going after the demons. You see the demons coming and begging for life, and you see where people brought them. But Jesus wasn't on the witch hunt. He didn't need to be. Why? Because he had his Father in him. And the Father had already defeated the devil in heaven. He had kicked him out. And Jesus was here to defeat all the works of the enemy, all the works of the demons, all the works of the devil. Jesus was here, not when he hung on the cross, but when he rose again. He defeated all works. So why don't we make an agreement today, since I haven't gotten far in my notes? Why don't we make an agreement today that the devil's defeated? Because when we are unified together, tunnels get shorter. Light gets brighter. That's what happens. The enemy, can I have a little guitar or keys or something just to play a little bit up there? We'll put on some good 1,000-foot crotch, we'll worship. Sorry, TFK. We have the ability to live victorious. That was the life of Jesus Christ as a testimony for you and me. We are in God's promised land for you and me. It's not when we die and go to heaven. That is the ultimate presence. And everything in heaven revolves around the presence of God. But on this earth is a promised land. So you know what? I'm not going to condemn it and curse it. And I'm not going to empower the devil and enemy bigger than he is, because he isn't very big. Scripture says the most he could do would bruise my heel, because I'm literally stomping on his head so hard that his little dinky noggin bruises my heel. The reality is we, many in the church, have just too big of devils. They're just too big of devils. They're not big. The only thing that makes them big is when we look at the promises of promised land and we see the giants and we see all the heathens, we see all the sin, we see all the problems, we see all the issues. Well, then you're not going to cross the river, because you'd just rather stay in the desert.
Well, my mama and my papa stayed in this desert. I'm just a good old boy. I think I'm going to raise my children in the desert. Why don't we just... Those giants are too big. I got no giants out here. I'll just follow the presence and not be in it.
No. No, the only reason mama and papa didn't make it was because all they did was follow the presence and didn't live in it. And God's asking us to live in it. Be in his presence. That's what the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ did. Oh, it gave us salvation. Salvation from what? Salvation from a closed door of the presence of God.
Salvation from hell.
Then why do you live in hell? On earth. Why do we live in the attacks of the enemy then, if we're saved from it?
Well, because he's still a powerful devil.
He is not. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Find anywhere in New Testament that Jesus says the devil has more power than him. Find anywhere that contradicts that no matter what comes your way, God has given you the power and the authority to overcome it. God can't contradict himself. And so the reality is with Jesus in you, then you're powerful. And an open door for His Holy Spirit to invade us. But we have to want to be invaded. Oh, I want you, Holy Spirit. Just not that. That I'm kind of hiding. We want God to dwell in our sin? Hidden? It's not hidden. Maybe I should just start prophesying. No, I'm just kidding. It's not hidden. God knows. But He doesn't want to focus on our wrongs. He's focusing on the promised land that you and I are called to invade, to conquer, to dispel all darkness, and have milk and honey. Milk without refrigeration is one of the fastest products to spoil. Honey without refrigeration is the only product natural to earth that never spoils. Interesting. Milk and honey. Something you can lose quickly. And something will last for your whole life. And this is all about His presence. His Word of God you can hold on to for life. It never spoils. It's like honey. The Holy Spirit coming upon you, but your emotional state sometimes curdles what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us. Let's quit curdling the milk and let's get honey and milk. I'm going to try mixing the two together. Has anyone tried that? It might be the most amazing energy shake we've ever had. We might patent something new right here. Milk with honey. Imagine. That's what we need, His presence. Let's all stand. When we look at the scripture that Joshua to meditate in the book of the law, the Word of God, in context, what we can see is the greater significance of why keeping the testimony was key to Israel's success in fulfilling their commission as a nation. And God appointed Joshua with the same promise He gave to Moses. When Moses asked in Exodus 3, 11 to 12, Moses asked, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" This is Moses talking with God after God just called him and told him what he was going to do. "Who am I to do this? Who am I to do this?" And God's simple answer was in verse 12, "I will certainly be with you." Who am I to do this? Who am I, God, to do? I will certainly be with you. That's what I want, the knowing that He is always with us. He's always with me. Traveling in these airplanes, ministry and all of it. He's always with me. He's with my family. He's with my wife. He's with my children. He's with our church. He's with our family of God in Windward. Always with us. He'll never leave you or forsake you. I see the light. No, I'm not dying. I see the light. Because the tunnel you might have thought you were in was really long, it's actually just really short when you see the light. As you focus on that light and everything else. Why are tunnels made? To get through mountains. Whatever mountain you're in, why go over the top? Why not just go through it? It's faster. Takes less energy. Less energy to go up and less brakes to go down. Just go through it right now in Jesus' name. Go through the mountain. Whew, to get to the other side. And deliver the cargo of your train. The cargo of Jesus Christ. The cargo of the Word of God. The cargo of love. Deliver it. Deliver the love of God. Watch the tunnels get smaller and shorter because the mountains get less and less when we live in the presence of God. Follow His presence, but don't just follow. Enter in. If you see His presence somewhere, get into it. Get into the presence of God. So, Father, we pray on this amazing February sunny, gorgeous day outside. We thank You for Your blessings upon our lives, upon our families, Father. And I choose not to focus on the problems and issues. I choose to focus on the victories and the successes. And I thank You, Father, for the testimonies that all of us have seen, miraculous that we've seen and I've seen around this world. Lord God, You are a God that is real. You are not a God that lives in paper. You are a God that is alive and forevermore. You are not a Holy Spirit that just touches us once. You are a Holy Spirit that's looking for an inhabited dwelling place. And I want to be that habitated and dwelling place, Lord God, of Your presence. I no longer want to follow and run after You. I want to be in You and You in me. I pray, Father, that today, everyone in this room, everyone watching on TV or the internet right now, I pray that we get our thoughts out of the wilderness and we bring them back into the promised land of Your word that's flowing with milk and honey. I pray, Father, we won't look at all the issues and problems unless we're willing to fix them. Especially talking with people, you know this problem, you know this problem, you know. I just want to say, I don't want to know that problem unless you're willing to fix it. I pray that we will rise up and fix the problems that we're called to fix and be the answer that we're called to be the answer to. In Jesus' name, fill with the Holy Spirit in the foundation of Your word. Breathe upon us, Holy Spirit. Miracle signs and wonders, Lord God. I've been watching them, seeing so many of them. Why not right here in this house? Breathe on us right now. Father God, a testimony of a week and a half ago, and I called out a kidney failure, a left kidney issue, and another one degrading, and find out it's someone's wife's mother in the service. We prayed for her. She wasn't even there. She was in the hospital. The doctors had given her no more hope. But guess what? She got hope. She got hope in the hospital. Because the next morning, the doctors came in and said, we have no understanding what just happened, but your kidneys are functioning again. Well, we know what happened. We know what happened. It's living in Your presence. That's what I know what happened. And Your presence sets us free. So I ask, Holy Spirit, come upon us. Any miracle that needs to happen, be healed in Jesus' name. Any flu that needs to go, be healed in Jesus' name. Walk with us, talk with us. I feel like the Lord saying, I'm already walking and talking. Are you listening? Open our ear. God says, I don't open your ears. You open your ears. Then I open my ears, Lord, to hear. I open my eyes to see. I open my heart to learn more and to understand more. Father, I'm just hungry. I just want more and more and more of You. I pray every one of us in this place feel the same. Thank You, Father, for the hands that are preparing my Chinese food. I really see it. I think it's Chinese. Thank You, Father, for those workers on a Sunday morning. Sometimes we just need to laugh. Why don't you just look at someone and stare at their nose for a while? Just do something to make us happy. Because the joy of the Lord is our strength. You don't be embarrassed of your nose. God gave it to you. Look at them, give them a hug and say, you know what? I'm in my promised land. Look at them. Look at someone and say, if you don't believe it, speak it. I'm in my promised land. Are you in your promised land? And if you're a single guy by a good-looking single girl, say, I know your promised land is with me. No, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Father, let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Amen. Be blessed. Have an amazing week, and I look forward to seeing you next Sunday.